there does seem to be folks coming into the market and looking around and seeing if, in fact, this is the right time to buy. We still are in a buyer's market. And oftentimes, if there is something that is substantiated that's wrong with the house, the buyer's in a very good negotiating position because that seller really wants to sell their house. Find somebody that's going to advise you to help you buy the house, not for you to not get the house.
Sellers who are pricing their houses right are seeing their homes sold. If you're looking to be successful, it's not about the sale. It's about the service.
Good morning and welcome to Real Estate Matters with Michael Guthrie, voted the 2010 Realtor of the Year by his colleagues in the industry, and the CEO of Roy Wheeler Realty. Archived audio of Real Estate Matters is available at WINA.com.
Good morning, Charlottesville. Welcome to Saturday Morning and Real Estate Matters with Michael Guthrie. We're glad you're here. Talking before the show that I was all excited, jacked up for the show, enthusiastic, and then I hear that J-Lo and Mark Anthony are breaking up. I just cannot believe it. That, along with Friday Night Lights, the last show last night, the lights have gone out on Friday Night Lights. I mean, gracious sakes, what a way to wet blanket this glorious day in Charlottesville. But we're glad you're here. We're going to try to keep you informed. We're going to try to talk about some things that show that real estate does matter in this city and in this county and honestly across the country. And believe it or not, we're in July. And that means that the first 6 months of 2011 have ended. And as always happens about this time of the month, we've got the second quarter market report from Car Out, and I have my friends Barbara McMurray and Greg Slater in the studio to talk about what this market report is showing. Barbara is the president of the Charlottesville Area Association of Realtors. Greg is the past president, and it's always great to have them on. But before we do this, and you may have seen this, because I know you both are involved on the internet and social media and things, but the KCM blog came out with the top five real estate headlines for the first 6 months of 2011. I'm going to, just for fun.
Oh, is this a quiz?
It's just a quick quiz. Uh-oh. Barbara, you and I, you know, being, you know, past teachers and things, quiz. This is a good thing. But there's just a few headlines. We can kind of make it a quiz or kind of make it like Family Feud. What's the survey going to say?
Pass.
But what would you guess were, you know, just a couple of things that you think were the top six headlines of 2011, the first 6 months.
One of them has to pertain to the historically low interest rates.
Okay.
Survey says.
No.
One of them has to say that the numbers now somehow reflect the lack of the tax credit from last year.
Close enough. No, seriously, government wants out of the mortgage business. You know, they want to get out of subsidizing mortgages. Despite the early headlines, sales are, in fact, increasing some. Amid warnings of a double-dip recession, prices are beginning to stabilize. Foreclosures, and we saw this just this past week, several things came out about the fact that the banks are having a tough time processing these foreclosures. And so foreclosures have been delayed longer than originally projected. And then the last one, which I love, is that Main Street Media begins to announce that now is the time to buy. You know, we've talked for, you know, since I was president and Greg was, you know, president-elect, and we're trying to, you know, be honest about what's going on in the market, and everybody's screaming, don't buy a house kind of thing, and we're talking about it being local. And now that the national media is saying, now it's time to buy, you're seeing all these realtors posting all this stuff about Wall Street Journal and Money.com and that kind of thing.
Well, Steve Harney's blog just the other day, whatever day, Thursday, Friday, He took the Wall Street Journal to task, I think, and he went line by line. I can't recall who was the author of the Wall Street Journal article, but line by line, he refuted every single thing. And the article, the Wall Street Journal article, was a naysayer. You know, no, you shouldn't buy property if you're a young person. You should never buy property. And he basically took it out.
And I think that goes back, Greg, to what we've talked about before, that it's an individual decision. For one person, it may be the right, you know, it might be, you might, should be renting, and another person should be taking advantage of what's going on.
That's exactly. Absolutely right.
Real quickly, just so you know, and we can watch and we'll see what happens. The headlines that they predict for the next 6 months, that interest rates will rise, that the some loan requirements tighten, but more people will be able to get a loan, which I thought was an interesting prediction. Let's see here. Got myself confused. Oh, yeah. Home sales will increase. The number of housing homes will increase. Distressed properties will increase markedly. And that goes back to the foreclosures not getting on as soon as they thought. And then the other interesting thing is, even though homes are going to increase, their prediction is that prices will continue to soften in most markets around the country. So we'll have to watch that. But I just thought it'd be fun to kind of look at that as we start into talking about what actually is happening in the Charlottesville area. You know, the first 6 months are over. Barbara, you talked a little bit about the numbers and how they compare to last year, given the fact that we had an incentive last year. We had that $8,000, tax credit that was in full flow.
Right. Well, the closings were happening now.
Yeah.
And so, and I know, Greg, you and I have talked about this, but I think as we look at the number of closed sales and note that they're down, just a little under 6%. In the first 6 months, I think we agree that the tax credit had a lot to do with that. And when we look at the pending figures, I think we're encouraged somewhat by the pending figures. I know Greg
up 20%, right?
Yeah, Greg's the man who's been tracking that for the longest.
And well, year over year, I had the contracts written first half of the 2011 over last year as a dead heat, actually.
Yeah.
What it tells me is, we're lagging on the closings, and that number is going to get smaller. When we come out at the end of the third quarter, I bet the closings, the sold data, looks a lot like it did last year after three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting that, 2000, let me get this right, 2009, we had the first part of 2009 was terrible. The second part of 2009 was better. So we knew that 2010 would be inverted, that the first half of 2010 would be better, and then the 2010 second half would kind of catch up with so we had these inverted curves.
Right.
And it almost feels like we're going back the other way again from a standpoint of what we're talking about here, because the pendings are dead heat. That means there'll be more closings in the third quarter, and we're going to be kind of caught back up with 2010. I agree with you by the end of September.
Sure. You have to, I tell people we look at this data to understand what happened, but really what we're trying to do is figure out the best we can which direction we're headed, because that's the most important thing to consider. If you're coming to the market with a home to sell, you're trying to forecast demand at some level against how many homes similar yours are for sale, so that maybe you can make a plan that meets your needs to part with that home.
Right. And as we said before, one of our frustrations in reporting the numbers, of course, we're happy and delighted to report the numbers. It helps our members of our association. It helps the public. But my frustration with just looking at the numbers goes back to what you said. Individual buyers, individual sellers are making the market. They make that decision. Now's a good time for me to buy. I'm so frustrated with people that put their life on hold based on charts and numbers when, they possibly should make a decision to sell now, buy now, and move on.
Well, and the reason that I talk about 2009, 2010, and just for a moment before we go back to the numbers, we're working hard to create a whole new market report, not only for our members, but also for the media to report. And this is the second time that we've done that. And one of the things that we've done, going back to what you just said, Barbara, is we're trying to go back several years so that people can – it's not just about May. It's not just about June. It's about, okay, here's where it was in 2006 or 2007. Here's where we are today. And so people can get a feeling for the fact that this is definitely a cyclical situation. And, Greg, you've headed up that project team. Where do you think that particular effort's going, and what can people expect with this new market report?
I think what you're going to see, hopefully sometime in the third quarter, we're going to equip – our members, our realtor members, with the tools they need to maybe explain the data and provide the data in a way that helps people make decisions. I think that's when the data got tricky and the uncertainty of the market with the outside influences, I feel like some of the market got hung up in the fact that it was very hard to explain to a homeowner or a potential home buyer what was really going on. So we're trying to raise the bar. We're trying to make each one of our members more equipped to give the information that helps people make good decisions.
And doing a good job. I think the report is improving. I'm very proud of it as a product presented by Carr.
Well, and Barbara, as you being the president of Carr, this is, you know, obviously under your supervision. And from my standpoint, one of the things that I really like about it is we had gotten to the place where we were editorializing probably more than the public wanted us to. This is going to be information that, yes, we're going to try to give an analysis. We're going to try to give a summary, but we're going to let the stats speak for themselves. And that way, both the public can look at them from their end, as well as the realtors. The realtors will be able to take this information and analyze it and send it out to their folks in the way that they want to do it.
And they can customize it more to those specific situations. This is broad information. It doesn't really help you answer any specific questions to your situation.
We got to go to break. Classic Furniture will tell you that the market's up because they're selling a lot of furniture. And when you talk to Zeke, Zeke says it's because people are buying houses, which is great news. New American Mortgage, both with refinancing, with reverse mortgages, with applying for pre-qualification loans, that's up as well. And those are just two signs that the market is beginning to move in the right direction. But we're going to let them tell you in person why you should be working with them, and we will see you after the break. Welcome back to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie, and you're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA. Got Greg Slater and Barbara McMurray in the studio with me this morning, and we are talking about the real estate market and as it pertains to the first 6 months of 2011 and what we can expect moving forward into the rest of the year. As you know, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/realestatematters. You can also find us at wina.com and click on podcasts. Go to Real Estate Matters, and you can look at and listen to all the different archive shows. We'd love to have you doing that. And one other thing, just a little public service announcement, if you will. Monday, day after tomorrow, the Broadcasters Blood Drive is at the Omni. This is an annual event. It's an all-day event. And, man, I tell you what, when you go and give blood, you're going to get to eat well. You can eat breakfast from great restaurants. You can eat lunch from great restaurants. You can eat dinner from great restaurants. There are lots of neat drawings. If you are interested in giving blood, come by the Omni sometime between 7 in the morning and 7 in the evening this coming Monday. Even though this is just a half-hour little show, I am a broadcaster, and therefore I will be there in the morning giving blood and doing my thing here for the Charlottesville Radio Group. But come on by. You'll not only do something worthwhile for somebody in need, but you'll also have a really good time and be fed and have a chance to win lots of prizes. So hopefully you can join us over there. We're talking about the 2011 six-month car market report. And I asked Greg just to talk a little bit about the fact that, you know, we're seeing some interesting trends in regards to short sales. And for those of you that don't know what that is, a short sale is somebody who is trying to sell their house and the mortgage is actually more than the value. And so then the seller has to negotiate with the bank as to getting that house sold and somehow or another forgiving or postponing or whatever you want to do with the delta, with the difference between that sales price and the mortgage. And we have seen an increase in those type of sales. And Greg, why don't you lead in and talk to us a little bit about that?
So one of the things I do is I look at the number of, we categorize sales that are short sale or bank owned in our MLS, so we can look back and see what percentage of the activity is lender or bank influenced. And in the first half of 2010, that number was about 14% of all the sales in Albemarle, Charlottesville, Fluvanna, and Green, the area I looked at. And this year it's up 5% to about 19%. So we are still seeing, I consider that a significant amount of what's occurring. You know, short sales and foreclosures, it depends on who you ask on how they influence the market. But I think they influence the market while they're available. Because if you have a home to sell and there's a comparable type house that's owned by a bank, they're probably going to be more motivated and more aggressive with their price. So that's one of the things when you're selling your house you have to look at. Are there what's the foreclosure activity like around you? Because, you know, you break that number down further, I think you're going to see Fluvanna probably has the highest number in our area of that type of activity right now. And the city of Charlottesville is probably the lowest.
Barbara, when you, because I know you're asked a lot of times as president of Carr about this short sale foreclosure type of market, it to me, we're doing a much better job of being able to, as Greg just said, specify and see that these things are there. Realtors who are looking online,
right,
they know that they're showing a buyer that particular type of property. So I think in that way, that's a positive thing, because I think it's going more smoothly now because people are learning how to do it.
And it's a change, as you know, over the last couple of years. And agents have been trained in how to manage that sort of property. So, yeah, it's a growing piece of the business. You and I talked during the break. We hear in the national news so much about the areas that are horribly troubled with distressed properties like Las Vegas and Florida. And numbers that I had in CoreLogic, Real Trends, said that overall the Charlottesville area has less than 1% of all loans that end up being distressed. Virginia has a figure of 1.6% of all of its loans end up being distressed, and nationally that's 3.6. So while it's a horrible thing for every one person who's in distress, I do feel that the Charlottesville area continues to have fewer people than many other areas.
Yeah, well, I think the sales data, though, also tells us these properties are moving through the process. You know, we're getting them back on the market and resold to people who hopefully will own them a long time. And that's part of what we have to do. That's why we watch the inventory. That's why we watch this percentage.
Right.
When the inventory comes down more significantly because we've dealt with all these properties and the people that need to sell their homes, that's when we'll get back to talking about a more balanced market that's
and
not in favor.
And the inventory is moving.
Yeah, it's funny. And before we talk about inventory, just one last comment, because you know, if you're listening and you hear 0.98%, then why are the short sales and foreclosures so high? Well, two things. One, I think the reason that ours is less than in the state and nationally is because we didn't do as many of those crazy loans.
We did not.
You know, the lenders in Charlottesville stayed away a lot from those crazy loans that have caused a problem with lots of different parts of the country. And there are a couple places, there's a couple condominium projects where somebody came in and they did that. And those condominium projects in Charlottesville have unfortunately reaped the negative aspect of those loans. And so we've seen it firsthand. But that is the exception rather than the rule in Charlottesville. The second thing is, 14% last year, 19% this year, but less than 1% of folks are struggling. Well, the reason the numbers are different is because people are struggling and have to get their houses sold because they can't.
Right.
You know, they're either going to get foreclosed on or they're going to get out through a short sale. So don't let those two numbers confuse you. But anybody that's listened to this show, if there's one thing that I tell you, every time we look at numbers, what's the first number I look at? And if you were being able to tell us over the airwaves, you would say inventory. Because when I look at these numbers, nothing changes positively, price-wise especially, until we get the inventory down, and the inventory down to 2,000, 2,500, you know, anywhere in that range. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, we're down
3,600.
We're down, about 10%. It was about 300 less, right?
We were at 3,843 this time last year.
Yeah, so 200 and some less. And so that's good news. We're starting to trend the other way. But the bad news is what we talked about in future headlines, that the foreclosures and things are slow. So they're going to be coming on, maybe not this year, but next year. And then the other thing that I think that a lot of us don't think about is the other type of shadow inventory. And what the other type of shadow inventory for me is, your neighbor who wants to move to another part of Charlottesville but isn't going to do it until they see the market picking up.
Or your neighbor that has moved and rented their house that doesn't want to be a landlord.
Exactly. But let's stay on the positive side of this for a minute, that your neighbor, as soon as they see a couple signs in their neighborhood go up and sold signs go up, they're going to put their house on the market, and you didn't know that. And so that's another type of shadow inventory that I think there are a lot of people in our marketplace that are ready to move up or ready to downsize when the market shifts. So I think that inventory for some time to come is not going to change. Hey, we've only got about a minute left. I'll give you both 25 seconds of a parting shot of what you think, given what you're looking at, what you see the rest of the year looking like.
Well, parting shot. Do what you're going to do. Don't put your life on hold. make your move. I don't depend on the numbers to tell me how to make a personal decision about buying or selling.
And what about, do you think, and just putting on the spot, not going to hold you accountable to it, 2011 ends up equal to 2010 or maybe a little bit better?
Equal, I think.
Okay.
I would say equal to maybe slightly better in a number of sales. You know, better could mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I think the data, now that we're far enough away from the tax credit, gives us something we can maybe start to rely on to get good advice. But I think the important thing to know is if you have to sell your home or you're getting ready to buy it, you need to start a conversation and stay in it, because week by week, this information in your segment of the market can change.
Yeah, I absolutely think it's true. And folks, again, I think you've heard it both from two wonderful people and experts in our community. This is a decision that you need to make. Find somebody that you trust who knows what they're doing, and find out whether this really is the time for you to buy, this is time for sell, or you want to just, you know, hold on and rent and see what happens. Hey, thanks for joining us. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Have a great weekend.